if you would.
And what we're going to do tonight is going to be a little bit different. It's kind of like I'm going to start a message, and I'm going to hand it off to Brother Steve, and he's going to run with it the rest of the way. So that is a little bit different. But we've been doing things a little bit different today. I want you to turn to John chapter 15, if you would. As you're turning there, I'm just going to refresh your memory of some things that we have talked about and discussed and looked at in the Word of God in John chapter 13. You remember our Lord started the upper room discourse. This is the night before His crucifixion. And what our Lord does, He gives precious promises. One promise right after another. What you find in chapter 13, and you find Jesus washing the disciples' feet. He takes upon Himself the role of a servant and does a menial task. And then He said He did this for an example. And what He said in chapter 13 and verse 17, He says, "If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." The word happy, makarios, is you will be joyful. You will have great happiness if you do that. What is that? Taking upon yourself the role of a servant and serving others. And so we have these promises. In chapter 14, what you find, He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many dwelling places or mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you." And then He says, "I go to prepare a place for you." So there we have a promise again that the Lord has a place prepared for you as His child. You have the promised presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have a promise that you will do greater works than our Lord Himself. Not greater in the miraculous ways that He did things, but greater in volume as far as in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. You have the promise that He'll answer your prayers if you pray according to His will. You've got the promise that He has sent another Comforter, one who comes alongside and dwells with us. You have the promise of the Father's love, and you have the promise of peace. But I want you to notice in verse 17, in chapter 15, and notice the drastic contrast as our Lord starts speaking. In chapter 15 and verse 17, Jesus said, "These things I command you, that you love one another." He speaks of love, and He's spoken of love back in chapter 13. And we're to love even as He has loved. But what you find as He speaks about His disciples, how they are to love one another, He immediately states in verse 18, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated Me before it hated you." Now what we find here is our Lord's talking about love and how you ought to love one another. Then He talks about hate, about how the world is going to hate you. Now, when you think about that, you think about we as children of God are the most blessed people on this earth. As a child of God, you are blessed beyond measure. As you think about that, we're blessed in this world spiritually. And though, as I said like this morning, if we were to lose everything, if we lost everything, we're still more blessed than all the people of all the earth. I want you to look at a verse of Scripture over in Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 34, the writer to the Hebrews said in verse 34, "For you had compassion of me in my bonds. You had sympathy toward me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance." Literally, what the writer here is saying, when your goods were plundered, I think that's the ESV terminology. When things that you owned and all your possessions, when they were taken away from you, you took it joyfully. Now, if this world got vicious toward you and your family, and this world took all your possessions, everything that you owned, would you take it joyfully? These early Christians endured some drastic persecution. And when they were persecuted, they took it joyfully. You know what? The reason they could do that is because their greatest treasure was Jesus Christ. And if you value Him more than anything in this world, though you lose your home, your possessions, for Christ's sake, you also could take it joyfully. You could, unless you consider your possessions of greater value and greater treasure. The Word of God gives us a stern warning. We are told to consider the cost before building a tower. We are told to consider the cost. And for people who come under conviction, they need to consider the cost of following the Lord Jesus Christ. If we know that trouble is coming, you know what? It's good to know trouble is coming. You understand what I'm saying? If you know something is going to happen that's going to happen bad, you're able to face what's going to happen bad better if you knew it was about to happen. I'll give you a case in point. The Hurricane Florence down in the Carolinas, people were warned. They were warned and they were warned. 80 to 90 foot waves at one point out there in the ocean. You know what? People prepared because they were warned. When you know trouble is coming, if you're mentally prepared and you're spiritually prepared, you know what? You can handle that trouble a lot better. The little 4-year-old that got hit by the car yesterday. Oh, if only they had warning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, let me read a little word to you. Down in verse 28, the Apostle Paul says, "For those of you who are single, this is a warning for you. This is what I give in marital counseling sessions or premarriage sessions. Before I marry anybody, I will talk to them first. If they don't want to talk to me, I don't want to marry them. But they need counseling." The Word of God says this, and it is a warning before you get married. "But and if you marry, you have not sinned, and if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you." Let me tell you something. If you marry, you're going to have trouble. You got sinners marrying sinners, and you're just compounding that sin. You will have trouble in the flesh. But you know what? If you know trouble's coming, you can better prepare yourself for it. Amen, Brother Josh. Come on now, think of it. If you know trouble's coming in your marriage, and if you prepare for it, you can better handle it. But if it slaps you side the noggin and you don't know it's coming, you're liable to turn around and snap back. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of truth in what the Apostle Paul wrote there. What we read in our text in John chapter 15 and down in verse 18, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his master or his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hates me hates my Father. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this comes to pass that the word might be fulfilled. That is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Persecution toward the righteous has been from the beginning of time. All the way back, you remember when Cain killed Abel. And it's because Abel had righteous deeds. It's the ungodly against the godly. In the New Testament, you see it's still consistently happening. King Saul had all those babies murdered. On down, or King Herod. Then there was Saul, before he is known as far as Paul. Saul persecuted Christians, even to the point of death, consenting unto their death. Then the Jews followed Paul, persecuting him from one place to the other. He was stoned. He was beaten. And you know what? That persecution has never stopped all down through the centuries. I saw a statistic, and I might steal some of Brother Steve's thunder before he starts. But I read where there are more Christians that have been martyred in the 20th century than all the 19th centuries added up together before it. That's mind-boggling. All in the 20th century, more than all the previous 19. The United States State Department lists more than 70 countries where persecution is either promoted or it's permitted. There's over 200 million Christians, now I use that term kind of in a broad sense, that now face intense persecutions. There's over 250 million Christians who undergo some sort of discrimination. Most of that comes from Muslims in 41 different countries. Just this past week, I got an email from the Southern Baptist office in Lexington. And they said Southern Heights Baptist Church, which is over off of Clay's Mill Road, I think, Southern Heights Baptist Church last Sunday morning had an intruder that made his way past security. And he disrupted the service, started spewing out hatred and all kind of vulgarities. He really disrupted the worship service. He left promptly right after that. Why would he do something like that? It's because of hatred toward the truth and what Christians stand for. Because of this hatred, let me encourage you to take heed to verse 17 once again. These things I command you, that you love one another. I was telling Brother Steve, and I'm going to stop with this story here, that there was I saw in the news just this past week. Now, my message is going to be continued next week. His might be too. But I saw in the news this past week that there was a girl that was abducted over in England, and she was a teenager. She was abducted by some Muslims, and they were sex training her. Shortly after she was abducted, they took her and married her to a Muslim man who raped her. They repeatedly raped her, tortured her, and she was missing for 12 years. Her parents pled with the police. Look for her. Help us. They would not even so much as report her missing. The police department wouldn't. And the reason is because they didn't want to be labeled as racist. They did not want to be called names by the Muslims. And therefore, they did not even search for her. They told them they were not going to help her their parents, and they could go look for her themselves. 12 years later, they found her. After being tortured, after being raped, it's mind-boggling. But that's the world. The world hates Christians. What really gets me, and I want you to think about this as Brother Steve comes, there are Christians in our world today that are losing their lives because they're taking a stand for their faith in Jesus Christ. We are like the passage of Scripture I read this morning in Deuteronomy 32. We're like Jeshurun. You remember who Jeshurun was? Fat. God prospered Jeshurun. Jeshurun was well off. We cannot take a stand for the faith due to our wealth and prosperity. Here are poor Christians that are dying for their faith in our day and time. I'm going to let Brother Steve continue here. He's got a lot to say. So, Brother Steve, you come. If anybody's sitting near the window, watch out. Don't fall out like Eutychus. He'll liable go past midnight. I'm kidding.